Welcome everybody to Pit Stop Radio with Tim Despain. Welcome, everybody, to the Pit Stop Radio tonight. I'm Stephen Wilson, your host. Tim Despain is out tonight getting a little bit festive, so I'm going to throw him under the bus here for a second since he's got time to go out and be festive tonight. He's been elected me to take the show over. So I'm going to go ahead and get this thing started. I'm going to bring the Reverend Joe in first. We're going to get this thing rolling tonight. A lot of things going on last weekend at Phoenix Raceway with Kevin Harvick taking his second win of the season. And coming up on Auto Club Speedway this weekend. Oh. Reverend Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I've been sick as heck, Stephen, since Friday, but I'm okay for the moment. So, let me get this thing started while I can still speak.
let's get this going.
All right. Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for all you do. We ask you to protect us all. And those of us that are into the weather, please, Lord, heal us and straighten out these crazy flu bugs and everything else that everyone seems to be wandering around with at Phoenix. Give everyone good, safe trips from everywhere they're coming from to California. Be with everyone that's involved with auto racing all over the country and protect our soldiers all over the world. And we thank you for that in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah. Reverend Joe, did you get to make it out to Phoenix this past weekend? And if you did, what did you think of it all?
Well, I made it out there for Friday. I was so sick, I ended up going home Saturday morning. But everybody was pretty excited. There was, at the beginning of the day, there were 47 cars there for the Cup race. A couple of them withdrew, but it was pretty exciting. Everybody was pretty much up. So when you've got a three-race West Coast swing and you don't qualify for the first race, you're sitting there on Friday. I found some of the guys were sitting there on Friday at Vegas trying to decide what to do, and a couple of them just went all the way back home and then came back out for Phoenix. Plus, there was a little bit of confusion between some of the teams over the fact that there was a NASCAR test back at Charlotte right after the Vegas race. So everybody seemed to be wondering where everybody was, and a lot of flying back and forth, and a couple of teams drove back and forth. But all in all, you know, Phoenix is a very interesting place. It's a neat track. The garage area is pretty tight, and there was cars everywhere throughout the garage area. They were parked in every crack and crevice, and it was interesting trying to figure out who was who and who was where. As you know, Stephen, it used to be when I started doing this 40 years ago, cars had the same sponsor for a whole season. Nowadays, the sponsor changes every week, so the colored car changes every week. Team uniforms change constantly, so it's always interesting to figure out who's with who and who's where, but nobody was objecting to the three-race swing. They were kind of pleased with it, it seemed.
Yeah, I mean, coming out to the West Coast, I think it was a little bit crazy here in years past where they would show up late out of Daytona, go straight to the West Coast, and then they would come back for one race and return back out there. I think this helps the team out logistically. It helps NASCAR out logistically. And, you know, it's all in the name of saving some money out there for these guys. So, you know, obviously your Hendricks and your Roushes and some of those types of teams will obviously drive back and forth. But, you know, for the most part, you know, it is helping a little bit into the budget for these guys not having to come back and forth, especially with all the equipment and everything that they're carrying along with them. The only thing that I could say is that, you know, we saw what happened in Atlanta here just a couple of weeks ago. It was very cold. Maybe next year NASCAR probably needs to take a look at it and say, okay, we're going to do our West Coast swing right after Daytona because it's more temperate climate out there, and then come back to do Atlanta, Bristol, Richmond, Atlanta, Bristol, and Martinsville. You know, that would probably be a little bit better, especially on Atlanta trying to get a more favorable date.
I think you're correct, and I made a couple of statements that, you know, a couple of people looked at me cross-eyed, and I'm sure a bunch of people would, but been at this a long time, it would seem to me that if they did the three California tracks and then, you know, the three West Coast tracks, I should say, and then went to Daytona, you'd end up at Daytona with some of the rules package situations squared away, any changes figured out, and you'd end up at Daytona in much better weather. Then you could move from Daytona to Atlanta and so on, the rules, and everybody likes Daytona first, but it didn't used to be that way. If I remember, years ago, California had the first race in Riverside.
That would be going back. Yeah, that would be many, many years ago, long before I ever got into the sport, even was around. But, yeah, you know, they did at one time come out there first and then come back. But I think a lot of it is NASCAR with the Super Bowl being right. You know, they had to compete a little bit better, especially with the way that the NFL has extended the seasons over the years. They've changed when they do the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And they've got to do something in order to captivate the audience from a TV perspective and an audience perspective of, well, now the Super Bowl has happened. What do we talk about? And, you know, you start saying, well, you know, NASCAR is going to start the race in, let's just say, Auto Club Speedway these days because it's the track out there. People are going to be like, oh, well, you know, it's Auto Club Speedway. You know, let me know when they get to Daytona kind of thing. So, it's one way. It's six one way, half dozen the other. You know, I was in Daytona for the Daytona
for sure.
500, and I have to say it was very nice weather. I can tell you on Thursday night and Friday night, I froze. And Saturday and Sunday was very nice out there. Are you heading now to Auto Club Speedway this weekend to finish out the swing out there?
Yes. Auto Club Speedway for me is only 40 miles from my house, so it's an easy drive every day. That's not a big deal for me. The only hang-ups I've had is I've still got this lingering whatever it is, flu. Most people have said to me, well, it sounds like you got some kind of bug. And I said, no, I think I got a hippopotamus. I mean, I haven't had my butt kicked like this in a long, long time. But, and then, you know, yesterday morning my dad passed away, which just threw an extra curve into what was already a poor week going for me. But, anyway, this weekend, God willing, and the creek don't rise. But Auto Club Speedway the last couple of years has had some really great races as the track has gotten. Well, others have said, well, it's worn out. Well, yeah, it's worn, but it makes the racing more interesting. I mean, I drove many laps on that racetrack back in 2000, 2001, and being a racer myself for years, one of the things that threw me out taking laps on that track back then was I'm used to bull rings, and I kind of count the bumps to know when it's time to turn down into the corner. You kind of get, you know, there's certain things drivers get used to on a track and know, besides your vision, other things you're feeling that tells you when it's time for you to move up or down a lane or whatever. California from the beginning was so smooth, you didn't know where you were. But now it's gotten a lot rougher and it's probably in need of repaving, but I hope they don't for a while because everyone I've talked to locally and such has said, hey, last couple of years have been great racing. It's more in the driver's hand. I think this new package will do more of that.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with you. When that track first came online with that new paint job that they had out there, you know, it really wasn't any type of racing. A lot of it was a very conveyor belt, follow the leader around the track for, you know, 200 laps out there. But, you know, as that sun has beaten down and worn that track surface out, it's roughed it up a little bit. I think it's a little bit more racy these days. You add the heat in, and it's chewing those tires up out there, and it makes for a better race out there going forward into the future. Now, how long NASCAR and ISC will keep the track this way, I think most drivers would probably agree this is probably a better track than it was 10 years ago. But, you know, asphalt doesn't last forever. I know we talk about we talk about Atlanta. Atlanta was last paved in 1996. So, you know, we're talking, we're going on 20 years since the last paved job out there. But, you know, Auto Club Speedway, it's one of those tracks that people will, they like it, they love it, they hate it. It's just all in your opinion on what you like in NASCAR. But, yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your dad, but definitely let us know if we can do anything for you. And let everybody know out there where they can find you out online, Twitter, Facebook, and what you guys do when you do go to the track.
Well, they can find us on Facebook at Untrack with Jesus or Reverend Joe Bubico. Either one will connect to me. Our website is untrackwithjesus.org. When we go to the track, my main thing of our ministry is we spend time with the people who are not the big shots, and I'm not putting down any other ministry. The other ministries do a fine job, and they're needed. But everybody pretty much that's at a racetrack, in the infield especially, is away from home for long periods of time. And they need people to talk to who can help them out with their problems and their issues and the things they're dealing with in their personal lives. And I spend a lot of time with the officials. Before every race, I pray with each individual pit road official. Individually, I pray with a lot of the pit crews. And also, you'd be surprised the number of photographers and reporters and such that I have dealt with over the years who, you know, because those people are not in the limelight, they still having the same problems because they're away from home as much as everybody else, and they're not making the big bucks. But it's been very, very rewarding, and we've made a lot of good friends over the years. And those are the people we work with, and anybody else that calls on us while we're at the racetrack and even outside the racetrack. My phone number is 951-232-7630. Welcome calls from anyone, anytime. Glad to help them in any way I can. It's what we do. We've been doing it for 40 years. And it's interesting. Now, like Phoenix, for instance, has an unbelievable campground. And spend more time with people in the evenings out in the campground just talking about where they're from. They're from all over the world, practically, and a really great group of people. And because it's a state park that surrounds the area, it's a very inexpensive campground, but nice. Down, talked with a fellow for quite a long time that's from Alaska. It's just a neat place. The West Coast tracks are all pretty neat. So everywhere I've gone in the country, the tracks are always a lot of fun. My biggest problem is we just don't have the funds coming in to get to other tracks. And I'm hoping to raise enough funds to get to Sears Point for, you know, Sonoma for the race in June, because that one's about a 12 to 14, 16-hour drive with the motorhome. But that's another great, great facility also. But that's what we basically do, and we got to do a lot of that, even though at the end of Saturday I was just, or the end of Friday, I should say, I was so sick, ended up having to come home. But Friday I got to visit with just about everybody I wanted to, other than a few people I missed. But it's just, the racing at Phoenix was fierce. Everybody was excited. Everyone was feeling good about their cars. Kevin Harvick, naturally, when you're riding a high, you're doing great, and that was really good. And the people at Phoenix, as well as California Speedway, and my favorite's Las Vegas, but it's very unique. They're all great people all the way around. They treat everybody wonderful, and it's a great time. And anybody that hasn't gotten out to these tracks needs to. It's a great time.
Well, Reverend, I appreciate you taking the time to come on tonight. And you go rest up. I'll give you a reprieve. I know Tim is probably listening in and probably chomping at the bit to give you a reprieve from talking. So I do appreciate you calling in. You go rest up, and we'll definitely talk to you next week.
Absolutely. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to bring Todd in here for a little bit and talk before. I think we got our first guest coming on here in about 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about last weekend at Phoenix and see what he's got to say about it all. Todd, you're in Pit Stop with Stephen Wilson tonight. turns out he's having a little bit of fun somewhere. And what do you think about last weekend at Phoenix Raceway?
Well, for the uniqueness of that track, I would say, you know, it was pretty wild. You know, blowing the tires, you know, like they were having issues with. And, you know, I seen more and more tracks getting more and more wear and tearing up them tires a little more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely some issues early in the early goings with those tires. NASCAR did take a few of them back to the R&D center and did independently test some of them out there. Steve O'Donnell was talking a little bit about it earlier today. They were checking compounds to make sure that, you know, there wasn't anything, you know, abnormal with the tires that Goodyear had brought to the track there. But Kevin Harvick, we got to talk about him. He's been on a hot streak ever since last year. He won championship. He's got 7 top 2 finishes, either with wins or in second place in the last 7 races. You know, he was already locked in by virtue of his win last week, well, the week prior, and then he wins again back to back there at Phoenix. He's dominated Phoenix in the last couple of years. We're going back to California, right in his home state. How long can he keep this up?
As long as God is willing to let him. I mean, he's an amazing driver. He knows how to handle a car. I mean, even when it's having issues, you know, he thought he was having a tire go down. His crew said, keep going, do what you're doing. I'm really impressed with him.
Well, Kevin Harvick, you know, he's got a long way to go left in the season, as well as with a lot of other guys. One thing that we did see a little bit different this year, it took 7 or 8 races last year before we got back to a second winner. And Kevin Harvick already, you know, this early in the season, back-to-back wins out there. So he's definitely, his Stewart Haas Racing team, they definitely got something there. But Tony Stewart, on the other hand, has nothing going on. Just bad luck after bad luck. He's about 33 races without a win in the Sprint Cup Series. Obviously very dejected after the race there at Phoenix. You know, what can he do going forward here to try and change what he's got going on?
Well, you know, they did a thing, you know, with Kevin Harvick and Tony and Danica. You know, they had Kevin set up underneath Tony's car. Well, from what I've been seeing, you know, it's an option to try, you know, to try to better the car. But when they manufacture these cars, you and I both know there's something a little designed a little, just a little different, or something's not quite set right in order for that car to be, for Tony to be happy with that car. You know, he said it on the radio. Oh, if I want to drive a nationwide car, take a day on my week to do it. So apparently something wasn't quite set for that car. Danica, she's had a pretty good car, but you and I both know she's been getting wiped out. So she hasn't been able to push forward to make some sort of challenge to be up there. So I think with Tony, he's just got to find a happy spot with his car and see if there isn't something better they can do to push him forward, because he was coming out at the beginning of the season quite strong.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, the Stewart Haas as an organization, they have 2 good cars right now, with both Kevin Harvick and obviously Kurt Busch back this weekend. He showed up and he made a statement. He qualified very well out there and then came to the race, and he was contending for that win. Excuse me. All the way down to the end in that last pit stop out there. But he got a good finish, good top 10 finish out there in the event. But, you know, Tony Gibson brought him to pit road. Kevin Harvick stayed out. A couple other guys stayed out, and, you know, a couple guys came in with him. Obviously, he came back. He didn't lose anything by being out of that car in the last couple of weeks, and he is there to make a statement that, you know, he did come on Fox Sports and did, you know, show remorse that, you know, it is something tragic to go through, especially in this, in these circumstances, but he wants to move forward and be a better person. He feels that he's gotten enough second chances in life, especially with his issues in the past, and going forward, he's definitely got a lot to prove. But it seems like the fans, you know, they, when they were doing driver intros, it didn't seem that there was too many fans out there that was being so negative. Most of them seemed to be positive in the cheering and the yelling, and not so much out there. Going forward, I know he said that he's still going to work with NASCAR. He still has things that he has to do in order to continue with his indefinite probation is really what he is. You know, he's got a lot to go in the future with this. He still has the support from not only Tony Stewart, but the drivers around him, and obviously Gene Haas, co-owner of the of Stewart Haas Racing, that has believed in him. So obviously, you know, he still has a way to go, but he's definitely showing that he deserves to be there, because he can still wheel that car no matter what. You know, what do you think of thoughts on all of that, especially surrounding that? And I will, let me throw this into it. I know that it's like, sometimes it's like, you know, we continue hearing this over and over and over again. Kurt Busch's attorneys did go out, and I'm going to read exactly what had happened. Kurt Busch's attorneys have gone out, and they have asked for a motion for a new trial in the order of protection from abuse. The judge today has denied it, and his ex-girlfriend, Patricia Driscoll, did put out a statement saying the protection order of abuse gave me the sense of security, and I'm greatly relieved that the court reaffirmed my account and upheld it. You know, this is continuing. You know, she's even to the point now that she has set up a website with all the court documents, with all her statements on this. And this is the first time I've seen this today, is when the statement was released. At what point does she just need to give up and go away and stop trying to continue dragging everybody through the mud?
Well, way back when this all started, I recall her saying that she wasn't going to cause him any problems or anything. And then all of a sudden, this all just exploded. You know, Kurt's a heck of a driver. Yes, he used to have his anger issues. We all seen on TV when it come to, you know, doing interviews. He changed. He was bettering himself. Then this came along. And as far as her, she just needs to stop and go away, do her own thing. Kurt's got a new woman. He seems to be happy. Hopefully she's helping him lead in the right direction, and he keeps moving forward and going positive. You know, he's showing that he can be a professional driver and a good public figure. So if he keeps moving forward, he's going to do awesome.
Yeah, most definitely. I think at this point, you know, you're right. You know, let bygones be bygones. Let's just say it's water underneath the bridge, and let's move on from this fact. You know, it's been continuous week in and week out of this, and, you know, I hate to continue bringing it up, but, you know, it's one of those things that people are talking about, so, you know, we talk about it. We want to continue the story to find out how it ends. Obviously, Kurt, as he said in the Fox interview, you know, he said he's going to work with NASCAR. He's going to continue working with NASCAR, and he is going to abide by what they say. So, you know, you got to give it to him for saying that, look, you know, I'm going to try and move past this the best of my ability. You know, as I just said, let bygones be bygones, and let's kind of move on out of this issue. You know, it's just trying to get away from that issue. You know, this weekend we're coming to Auto Club Speedway. In the past years in the Sprint Cup Series, we've seen speeds coming off into Turn 1 off the front stretch, you know, approaching the 214, 215, 216 mile an hour. You know, obviously this year they've cut the horsepower in the cars, reduced that down, but we're still carrying the corner speeds out there like we were under the old, under the old horsepower that is, you know, in those cars. Where, you know, obviously with the track, it's been a few years. It's weathered in very nicely into the fact that racing has got abundantly better out there. You know, I don't think it's time. You know, me or the Reverend were just talking about this, about the repaving of the track, and obviously it's not time to do that. I think a lot of drivers out there do think it is a better racetrack. I think a lot of fans out there would probably agree with that fact. Maybe not everybody, but a majority of fans may agree with that fact, that we are seeing better racing out there this year. You know, we kind of go back to, should these tracks be moved up, especially Fontana, back to the second race of the year? And I go back to this just because I want your opinion, and I already talked to Reverend Joe about this. You know, we went to Atlanta, second race of the year. Traditionally, in the past, it's always been we've gone out to Fontana and came back up to the East Coast, and then we turned out, well, we left out of here and went to Phoenix and went to Fontana, and then we came back. You know, is it time, you know, after what happened this year in Atlanta, you know, is it time to say, okay, next year Atlanta needs to move their race date back by 3 weeks, let them go out there to Phoenix, do Las Vegas, and then do California, and then come back to Atlanta where there's more temperate climates?
Well, I think with NASCAR, what they were trying to do was, you know, with the big issues with the funding of everything, there might be a question in their head, you know, would this help save teams money by them being out there 3 weeks in a row? And, you know, yeah, I think they should have never changed it, but I think it should have been left alone because for temperatures, for everything, weather, you know, we just, there was a track here that I think, well, I forget what track it was. The owner had said, you know, he wished they'd left it back the way it was because the weather was better and it brought more crowds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely that NASCAR and Atlanta Motor Speedway would definitely have to take a look at next year just because of that fact. You're right. It, you know, by keeping the teams out there for 3 weeks at a time, that's not hauling everything back and forth. Obviously, there are some teams that do this, but you know, you take a look at some of the teams that are able to just stay out there and save a few dollars. May not be a whole lot, but every little bit counts to some of these teams that are especially having problems with being able to qualify week in and week out. And, you know, keeping them out there is logistically better for these teams as well as NASCAR to be able to hop from track to track and not have to continue, you know, driving back and forth. You know, that's a lot of money involved into this. Well, Todd, I've got Joanna Long on the line, and we're going to bring her in here and talk a little bit about her deal with Mike Alfarano Motorsports and her return back to the NASCAR Xfinity Series this year.
Okay.
Joanna, you're in the pit stop with Steve Wilson. Kent Spain is off tonight, so I've been elected to host the show. How are you doing tonight?
Awesome. I'm doing good. I'm just hanging out. I'm excited to talk to you guys. How are y'all?
We're doing pretty good. So earlier this year, you signed a deal to come back into the Xfinity Series on a part-time basis, and you guys have not been able to make it out to the track yet. What is the time schedule for you guys to get back on track?
We're working really hard. You know, we tried to make Daytona, and that was the race that we wanted the first race to be. But, you know, we had some unforeseen circumstances, just trying to get the car and everything ready and to get NASCAR approved the chassis. So it was a battle, but, you know, we're working extremely hard, and we just want to be fully prepared when we get to the racetrack, and that's what it's all about. We want to be competitive when we get there, and we want to do the best we can. So we're shooting for Texas in a month to be our first race, so we're working hard to make that happen.
You know, obviously it's been a couple of years since you've been in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and a lot has changed within the series itself. What have you done over the last couple of years to continue to prep yourself for an entry back into the Xfinity Series?
Well, you never know when you're going to get the opportunity again. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I thought I was going to get another opportunity. You know, I thought I was I was done, and I was just going to try to find something to do and keep busy and race late models. But, you know, when Mike Caffarino called, it was an awesome opportunity, you know, something that I definitely couldn't pass up, for him to call me and just wanting me to drive the car, especially me being out for 2 years. You know, how can you want a driver like that? But, you know, because there's so many great drivers out there. So it was really neat for him to take a chance on me and try to give me opportunity. But, you know, the main thing, you know, I've been in the gym a lot. I'm in the best shape that I've been in a very long time, probably my whole entire life, you know, just trying to get in the best shape I can. So when I did get that opportunity, I was ready to take a stab at it for sure.
And one of the things of the announcement that was made about your return back to NASCAR was that you would also be in select Camping World Truck Series events out there. You know, you've been in the Xfinity or the Nationwide Series before, and how much different is it for you to be able to say, I'm going to go race a truck out here at first to a stock car?
Well, you know, I ran in the truck series when I turned 18 years old. So I've been there, and I know what the trucks feel like. You know, the aero is a lot different from a car. The cars are a lot more stable getting into the corner and just overall more done for. So it's definitely a lot different, but it's all a race car. It's all the same thing. You know, you're trying to get it to do the same thing. So it's definitely different, but it won't be a challenge. But right now, our main focus is getting to the racetrack in the Xfinity car, and hope to do a good amount of races with them this year on that. So if we get a truck race or two, that would be great. But I feel like our main focus now is the cars and getting them to the racetrack fully prepared.
You know, being back in NASCAR after, you know, setting out and watching, you know, as you just said, you never know when opportunities is going to be, you know, back in your lap again to get in a race car again. What do you feel has changed within the sport in the last couple of years? Namely in the Xfinity series that, you know, I've obviously gone through such a brand identity change in the last couple of years.
You know, just even with the qualifying format, it's all different. I've never done qualifying like that before. But, you know, I've definitely been watching and studying up, and I'm being fully prepared when I do get to the racetrack. It's not just about showing up and hopping in a race car. It's being, like I said, fully prepared on every aspect. Watching new film. You know, it's been 2 years since I've been in a car, so it's just watching things that have changed throughout the car as well.
And I've got one more question for you, and I've got our friend on here, Todd Bixby. He's out of Watkins Glen, New York. Stops by the show every once in a while, and I'm going to let him ask you a question too. But my final question to you is that with your deal that you have in the Xfinity series, What has your team done? Have they been out to work with any other teams on the technical side, or what is it? Have they, or is this all you guys trying to build this from the ground up?
I'm building it from the ground up. You know, we're a small team. We're learning, and you know, that's really cool. You know, like I said, Mike Alfredo, they are a small team, and for them to want me to help their team and grow their team means a lot for me, and for them to have the confidence they do in me means a lot. So we're going to go to the racetrack and we're going to work hard. We know it's not going to be easy, you know, all these guys racing with big teams. So we know it's going to be hard, but we just got to keep pushing and just try to get better each and every week that we get out to the racetrack.
Well, Johanna, good luck in the Xfinity series coming back into the sport. It's a lot of people don't get the opportunity that, you know, how hard it is to compete in this sport week in and week out, especially when you know, unfortunately in your situation, like a lot of other drivers have been in, it's unfortunate. There's a lot of good drivers, as you say, but I'm going to let Todd ask you a question real quick before you got to go.
How you doing?
Todd, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I found Mike Aprano, and when I heard you were going to be driving for him, I thought that was great to get another woman back into the sport. And I've watched you race, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys move forward and get out on the track.
Me too. You know, we've been working extremely hard to get there. You know, we know it's going to be a hard process, but we're ready for the challenge.
Right now, as it stands, I know you said it's been 2 years since you've been in a car. How much anticipation are you at getting into that car and getting back on track?
I'm so ready. You know, I've been at the racetrack, and I've been racing late models and stuff like that. But you know, just being away from it, it's very hard. You know, I've went through a lot, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you I haven't been. It's been very depressing, you know, sitting out of the car and watching the races on TV, knowing that I was getting better each and every week. And, you know, I had a wonderful fan base behind me, and I didn't really understand why I wasn't there. You know, it's just extremely hard to get that sponsorship, and also for someone to take a chance on you and take you to the next level. And, you know, like I can't say enough. For Mike Aprano for giving me the opportunity to get back in the race car this year. It means more than anything to me.
Well, just so you know, from a fan, looking forward to you being back on track with Mike Aprano.
What was that?
Oh, Joanna.
I said I'm looking forward to seeing you back on track.
Me too. I can't wait to get there. Hopefully we'll make it to Texas, and we'll just keep the ball rolling.
Well, thank you for taking time and answering my questions.
No, thank you.
John, I appreciate you taking the time to come out tonight. I know you got a very busy schedule, but, you know, we always give everybody the opportunity to thank their sponsors, anybody out there that have gotten them to where they are, and tell everybody where you can be found on social media, Facebook, Twitter, website, etc.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can follow me on @JoannaLong on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm very active on there. Would love to answer your questions, so definitely follow me on there. But just want to thank everyone, all my fans that have followed me over the years. I'm very humble for all the comments that I have gotten to get back in the seat and people that wanting me back. It does mean a lot to me.
Well, again, thank you. Appreciate you taking the time out. And good luck this year back in the Xfinity Series going forward.
I appreciate that. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you. Same to you. And that was Joanna Long, driver in the Xfinity Series for Mike Aprano Motorsports, coming back again this year. Been a couple years since she's been out of the sport, and got a position back to be able to drive a couple races in the Xfinity Series and possibly in the Truck Series going forward. You know, we discussed, you know, how much has changed in the series in the last couple of years, and this is definitely, you know, a learning curve not only for her but anybody else that, you know, over the last couple of years that has lost a ride and, you know, now just trying to return back to the sport. And it's so hard for everybody out there with the sponsor and the money that is just involved into this sport to get back in a race car week in and week out. And she talking about some of the struggles that, you know, with NASCAR now having to certify all the chassis out there, it's a long process to be able to get back. Todd, you know, it's one of those things. How do you fix it?
And boy, that's a tough question.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. And, you know, everybody at NASCAR, I think they probably ask themselves, you know, the same question daily. And, you know, they do such a great job with trying to do anything and everything they can. But, you know, it's just it's the environment we're in, not only. And it's nothing that the series has done, the drivers have done, the teams have done. It's just the economics of it all. Everybody knows, you know, even showing up at the local racetrack every Friday or Saturday night is very expensive. you know, you wreck a car, you might not come back for 2 or 3 months because you can't afford to fix the car. And, you know, there's teams out there in NASCAR that are in the same boat. You know, you take a look at Extreme Racing that had their race car stolen right before Atlanta. They didn't have anything else. They had to withdraw from the race. So, you know, it's, we could probably sit here all night and debate the matter one way or the other, but, you know, it's hard to figure out exactly what we're going to do to fix these kinds of things. NASCAR, obviously, you know, with taking away the testing, has put some more money back in the team's pockets. You know, done various things over the years with the cars to make sure that they're safer, they can be reused. Those are things that have taken money and put it back in the team's hands. You know, the mega teams out there still have the money. They can still spend millions of dollars a year on testing and engineering, where the smaller teams just can't always necessarily do it. Now that we've tried to solve the world's problems and all this, coming up to Auto Club Speedway, and I know we're going to go back to this real quick, Will Kimmel is supposed to be calling here in the next couple of minutes to talk about Mobile Speedway. But before he does, this weekend we're going to be back at Auto Club Speedway. What are your thoughts? What do you think about Auto Club?
Well, the Auto Club is a good track. I mean, they get in some hardcore racing. My curiosity is going to be on how they're running, you know, if they're going to do groups or how they're going to run, because you know as well as I do, that's some guys would drop in 100 horsepower. My guess, speeds are going to reach about 185, 190 if they can push it.
Yeah, we will definitely have to see, because they're able with the new body, with the new package that they have in the engines. They put the tapered spacers in the engines to reduce the horsepower from somewhere around 850, 875 horsepower down into the 700 horsepower range. So they've taken effectively about 100, 150 horsepower out of the motor. Those drivers, when you've taken that much out of the motor, they are still able, like we saw there in Atlanta, to carry the speeds into the corners. Now, the straightaway speeds are going to suffer, especially at a long, sweeping track like Auto Club Speedway. We may not hit those 215s that we've seen in the past, but they'll definitely be able to carry that speed into the corner, which I think will make for some better racing out there this weekend, within all of the Xfinity and the Sprint Cup Series that's going to be out there racing this weekend. You know, in the past, you know, we've seen conveyor belt type racing out there, but I think we're seeing a change for the future out there in the racetrack that has been able to weather in over the years, groove up and rubber up a little bit better, and drivers seem to be more, you know, better prepared for the racetrack. I know Reverend was talking about the bumps in the racetrack, and we've seen that over the years. And going forward, we're going to continue to see that out there. And hopefully, ISC will decide not to actually repave that racetrack out there. So does Kevin Harvick get a third in a row, or who do you pick this weekend?
Well, normally I would go with Junior, because I'm a huge Junior fan. But I got to put half of my bets on that Kevin, because they've had his car right to a T.
Yeah, I don't think too many people can disagree with that. He's having one heck of a run out there this year, especially in the last couple of weeks, when he's going to be there at the end contending for that championship. And I've got Will Kimmel on the line. We're going to talk a little bit about Mobile this past weekend and get his thoughts on it. Hey, Will, Steve Wilson, with the pit stop. How you doing tonight, bud? I know you've got to be a little bit sore after Mobile.
Actually, you know, I'm in pretty good shape. Been going to work. I was actually in the shop Sunday, you know, doing a little work on my Camaro and stuff, and just kind of piddling, but trying to keep moving. I think that helps more than anything, but everything worked like it should, so that was good, you know.
Yeah, I did get to go out there and see the incident that you had out there at Mobile Speedway, I just want to get your thoughts on this. We've seen over this past year, it seems to be the common thing with safety, putting those safer barriers on the wall. The Mobile, for most people that may not know, you know, does not have a retaining wall all the way around the track. They use concrete barriers out there to keep the cars from going into the parking lot. Coming back to your incident out there this past weekend, and you take a look at that, and you take a look at what has unfolded with Jeff Gordon, especially, namely, in the NASCAR series with the wrecks this year. What is ARCA doing now to kind of look back at your incident and look forward to what they can do with these racetracks, especially like somewhere like Mobile?
Well, I definitely don't think there'll be any concrete walls or anything over there next year like that. That's for sure. No doubt that was an accident doesn't happen very often. Throttles hang, that happens. We just missed it. I mean, we checked to make sure it had wide open throttle, was hitting the stop, and it went back past the stop. I don't know if it's from the firewall moving a little bit or something during the race, but it happened, and I think ARCA will take a look at it. They looked really hard at the car, but, you know, the biggest thing is there was some concrete construction portable walls out there that we hit, and, you know, I saw a different view of it today on the internet, and I'm pretty fortunate to be talking to you, I tell you. But you know, our cars aren't meant to hit the edge of the wall. And the wall only missed the top halo by about 3 inches. That's how much of a angle the car was at when it hit the wall. So, you know, I don't think there'll be any, like I said, I don't think there'll be any walls out there next year. But as far as the track being wall-less, I don't think that's a problem as long as there's plenty of area that we won't hit something like that. You know, and I said, you know, I wish there wasn't walls out there and stuff. But the video I saw today kind of changed my point of view on it. I think the wall stopped me from going and starting to tumble because from what I saw today, when I landed, I think I would have taken off back in the air and started rolling and tumbling and flipping and doing a bunch of stupid stuff like that. But I don't know. You know, it raised a lot of questions after I saw that video. Obviously, you can tell. But I don't know what would happen to the car if I would have hit a wall right there. I want to say it'd just be a front clip, but like I said, it's so hard to say because I saw it at a different angle, and it definitely looked a lot worse than a couple of the videos I'd seen.
Yeah. I, like I said, I had taken a look at it not too long after it came across Twitter and social media that you had hit the wall out there, and there was a couple of videos out there from the grandstands. Granted, they weren't the best quality, but I tell you what, you have to be lucky. You are very lucky out there, especially with what happened out there. But, you know, we've all talked about that for this whole time. You know, ARCA Racing Series just finished up there at Mobile. You guys, you know, doing a lot of different things this year. You know, in the past, ARCA has always been a follower leader from NASCAR. And forgive me because I'm not a specialist on ARCA racing, but I watch ARCA racing, so a lot of what I refer to is my knowledge of NASCAR. So, you know, you guys in ARCA Racing Series have always followed a little bit along with NASCAR has what they've done in previous years. Qualifying, namely, this year you guys got the new Elmore engines out there, which, you know, I know when they were testing in Daytona, there seems to be a lot of discrepancy between those that were running it and those that are running it. Now that you've gotten a couple of races in, what is your feelings on the Elmore motors out there?
I think ARCA's definitely headed in the right direction here. These motors are they're not real cheap right off the bat, but where a team like my Kimmel Racing is going to see savings here is after we have to rebuild these things. You know, they're going to go 1,500 miles. There's a 500-mile warranty. There's not a lot of race engines you can buy and take and go turn 7,500 and run 230 degrees and you just straight abuse them and still have a warranty on them. You know, the guys at Elmore have done a really good job. I've done all the testing for the motor, and we've worked on a lot of the tuning aspects of it. We went to Palm Beach. We've done a lot of stuff with the Elmore guys. You know, there's going to be some bumps along the way, don't get me wrong. But
I think the base motor they got there is really good, and it is a bigger cubic inch motor, and it's an LS, and everything seems to be working like it should. I really like them. The RPMs are a little bit different to get used to because you're not turning 8,800, so you don't have as much motor slowing you down as what you'd been used to. So that's a little bit different, but other than that, I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great move by ARCA, you know, and like you said, you know, ARCA has followed NASCAR for a very long time, but I'll tell you this, I think NASCAR would be looking at some of this stuff as far as having a spec engine from one engine builder to start saving some money in the future.
Yeah, I know that topic has come up several times. I know that they've gone to a sealed motor in the truck series out there to kind of reduce the cost, but that only reduces it for so much out there, especially with what they're running. The cost of motors out there these days are just crazy amounts of money, even those sealed motors that they're running. You know, NASCAR, if they could take one thing away, aside from the motors out there, going to a common motor template out there with common manufacturer, I don't know if you could get all three of the manufacturers out there to agree to this in NASCAR just because of the branding that they put behind these things. So what do you think about that?
I think that's going to be more on the political side of things, obviously, and that's not what I'm really good at. So I don't know how they would work through that. I know these are all Chevrolet engines, and there is one manufacturer, and I think that's the only way to do it and police it correctly is to only have one manufacturer. You know, if you have three different engine builders, you're going to have, you know, three different motors. There's no doubt there. Even if they have all the same parts, there's different ways to put a motor together, and there's different ways you can do certain things while building it, you know, to make it better or worse, I'm sure. Now, obviously, that's a little bit out of my league, but I definitely think the best way to do a common motor for a whole series is the way ARCA and Elmore have gone about it. So there's definitely some more to still be learned here. You know, if somebody starts fooling around with one, and ARCA really doesn't come down hard on them, that's going to be an issue. You know, it can't get out of hand. That's something they're going to have to keep an eye on, I think.
And ARCA has done something for quite a while that NASCAR has just recently started doing again. It is racing at dirt tracks. Granted, it's only in the truck series, and you guys do race stock cars on dirt tracks in the ARCA Racing Series. How much is it different from a driver's perspective to know that you're only going to run a limited amount on a dirt track throughout the year and the rest is on asphalt?
It's something to look forward to, I tell you. It's, you know, the thing I really like about ARCA, you know, is the variety in track, and the dirt are a lot of fun. And we don't have dirt cars, so I don't know that Eldora would be the best racetrack for us to go to because our cars aren't set up to travel like a dirt late model or something of that type or a sportsman. You know, these are still the whole idea is to take an asphalt car and go put dirt tires on it and do the best you can on dirt. And that's what ARCA has done. And it's a lot of fun, I'll tell you. You know, last year at Springfield, we had a ton of rain. And there was probably like 5 or 6 inches of slop just sitting on top of the racetrack. And Bob Sargent did an excellent job of getting it back together. We had like 30-minute practice. And they actually had a cushion and a topside come in. And when you have that on a mile dirt, we had 2 and 3 wide racing at an old horse track. And it was a really, really fun race. It was a lot of fun to drive. And that was probably one of the best times I had driving a race car.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out. You know, coming back on here tonight, talking about Mobile this past weekend, what you guys got going on. Like Tim always say, we're going to give you the opportunity to thank anybody out there, your sponsors, and tell us about where you can find you on social media and what you guys are planning on in the future.
Well, obviously social media and Twitter is just my name, Will Kimmel. And this year, you know, we're looking at doing selected ARCA races. We're looking for single race sponsors, you know, and when we come to these televised races, you know, unfortunately James Messina with Messina Wildlife wasn't able to come back and help us this year, So we're actually having to go race to race to get by, and whether that's starting and parking or finding somebody locally when we come to these tracks up and down the coast, that's what we're after. So we're trying to play it by ear is what races we're going to make. But we'll definitely run the super late model some, and we'll definitely do some street stock racing this year. But, you know, you got to thank Messina Wildlife. He's been on board since last year, and, you know, still good friends with James. He's been great to work with. Circle Track Magazine, Rob Fisher, and all the guys at that magazine, they've just really turned the page with Kimmel Racing on the marketing side. He helps me tremendously with product on the race car and getting things that we need to keep the doors open in the shop. Clarksville Schwinn, Bob Peters, he's been with me for almost 20 years now. We started racing when I was 10 in mini cups, so, and he still keeps the doors open at the shop also, and actually owns the semi that we pull with. So he's obviously been a big player. You know, Excel, we're still working on deal with them. They've had a couple things change within the company, but they're still on the late model right now, and hopefully something comes around with them. Still working with them. Great company. The product's been around forever. And then KEM Racing, last year they come on with me for all the televised races, and they're a Ford Performance Power Stroke shop out of Monticello, Georgia. Their shop's actually about twice as big as our race shop, and Mike and Charles have been great friends of mine, and they do excellent work on our shop truck and actually my personal truck. So all that being said, appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Well, appreciate you taking time out to come on here and talk. Good luck in the rest of the ARCA race series and what you guys got going on out there. Don't be a stranger. Come back on anytime.
Yep, appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, we're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour out on the pit stop with Tim Desane. He's out tonight, as I let everybody know. And I'm going to go ahead and call it quits, unless, Todd, I'm going to give you the final word out here.
No. You know, I'm glad Lowe's okay. I keep up with him on Facebook, so, you know, hopefully he keeps moving forward. Other than that, you know, I think, you know, we got the night covered.
I think we did, too. I do appreciate you taking the time to come on, being my co-host tonight out there. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus and have you on the whole time, but I do appreciate you taking the time coming on, and we'll definitely talk to everybody next week.
All righty, well, I appreciate it.
Good night.